Well, hello and welcome to Click Sports with Jeff. I am Jeff. And by the way, if I sound a little weird tonight, it's because I went to the orthodontist appointment today, and I got a retainer put in, and it's going to take some getting used to. And so I might sound a little weird tonight, but hey, get used to it. I mean, I can't really do anything about it. They glued the thing in my mouth. So if I could do anything about it, I would. So my first segment tonight is going to be something I saw over the course of the last week that it's been since I was last on the air that I really thought was bad. Like, this was probably the worst thing that has happened in the playoffs in any sport in recent memory. I mean, the only thing I think of, and this that is even close to this, and it wasn't even in the playoffs, was when Ron Artest went up into the fans into the stands in Detroit and started fighting the guy who threw a beer at him. And this is really, I mean, this to me was so bad that I cannot believe that, I mean, people would even, like, that a player would actually do what happened. And what happened was at the end of Game 4 in the Mavericks-Lakers series that the Mavericks ended up winning. They won Game 4 122-86, so they absolutely destroyed the Lakers. I mean, they owned the series basically from start to end, obviously, as they swept them. And, I mean, it wasn't good. It was late in the game, fourth quarter. The Lakers were obviously done. I mean, they were frustrated, but two players showed it, but one player showed it worse than anyone else. And that was Andrew Bynum. Andrew Bynum went up and fouled J.J. Barea from the Mavericks. And, I mean, he didn't just foul him. He took him down. He just basically laid his shoulder into the guy while he was in midair, and J.J. Barea just went crashing onto the floor. It was not, it was not great. I mean, the foul was the worst foul I've ever seen in basketball throughout my entire life. It was the absolute worst foul. And it makes me angry seeing that players would actually do this. And I mean, I know you're frustrated because you've won an NBA title the past 2 years. You've been in the finals the last 3 years. And now you're getting killed in a second round series. So I know you're frustrated. But to go up, and it wasn't actually short, it was an elbow, and just throw your elbow and your forearm into the guy's chest when he's in midair, send him crashing to the floor on his shoulder. I mean, there's no reason on God's green earth that should happen in basketball. He rightly got thrown out of the game. I mean, as anyone should who commits a foul like that. And I'm honestly surprised that a brawl did not break out on the court. If this was baseball, that's a benches clearing brawl. Without a doubt. Anything like that is a benches clearing brawl. No one is going to stand for that in baseball. But in basketball, I mean, they got held back by their teammates pretty much immediately. And, I mean, bada bing, bada boom, he was off the court. And, I mean, you just can't throw fouls like that. And then, either today or yesterday, I can't really remember which one, it was either today or yesterday, it was announced that Andrew Bynum got suspended for the first 5 games of next year without pay, and he was fined, I believe, about $25,000 for taking his shirt off as he was leaving the court. I mean, the fine for taking his shirt off is a good one. But I believe Andrew Bynum should have either been suspended or fined more because of just the severity of this and, like, how it was played. I mean, this is the worst foul I've ever seen. And five games is a lot of games, but it's the beginning of the season. They'll get through 5 games with no problem. I mean, it's not like it's college football, and I'll get to the 5 games in college football later. But I just don't think that five games was enough. And if they believe it was enough, I believe he should have been fined for the actual foul rather than just taking his shirt off as he was leaving the court. I can't understand why someone would take their frustrations out by going in a basketball game, but instead of trying to get the ball and make the game a little closer, so at least you can say, well, in the end, I left everything on the court. Where instead of going up into the guy and just throwing him on the ground. That wasn't cool. That should never happen. And Andrew Bynum, maybe he even needs some counseling. Now, if you want to see the foul that happened, I'm going to put a link to the YouTube video that I found that has the best video of it up on my Click Sports with Jeff page on Facebook when I'm done with this segment. And as I said, I just feel like the punishment should have been much more severe. I believe it should have at least been 10 games. You have to take him out of a significant chunk of the season if you're going to punish him for a foul like that. It wasn't right, and I think the NBA won't change their ruling, seeing as they already ruled on it, but I just think it should be more severe for a foul like that. That has no place anywhere in sports. And as I was watching this, the one question in my mind I came up with was, weren't we taught sportsmanship as kids? In every sport I ever played as a kid growing up, sportsmanship was one of the most stressed areas of the game. Like, you were taught to lose with dignity and win with dignity. And I gotta wonder where that went with Andrew Bynum. I mean, it's not like the Mavericks were trying to showboat. The Mavericks were just playing their game, and they just happened to be able to hit almost every shot they took. I mean, they hit 23s in the game. They're not trying to showboat by hitting 23s. They're just taking shots. If the Lakers can't stop it, that's not their problem. If the Lakers can't stop it, that's not the Mavericks' problem. That's the Lakers' problem. And, well, the Lakers need to fix it for next year. And sportsmanship is just something that was central in, as I said, in every single sport that I ever played as a kid. I remember in JAA, which was the local football league around here in Fort Collins when I was younger, I remember every year there would be a team that wins the sportsmanship award. Like, they give an award out for it. Now, in professional sports, they don't really do that, but I still think that you have to have sportsmanship and playing and winning with class as a huge area in the game. I mean, if you have to implement some award for best sportsman or something, do it. I mean, give them some incentive so that they're good sports, so that something like this doesn't happen again. It's just, I hate seeing this happen in the game, and I think Andrew Bynum needs to go to some kind of class, too. Because in a segment I'll get onto about a little bit later about Ohio State and their whole huge issue, Jim Tressel was actually ordered by the NCAA to go to a coaching clinic that focuses on integrity because, well, he really has none, and I'll explain that later. And that'll all make sense. And, I mean, I just think they have to send Andrew Bynum, if they're not going to suspend him more or fine him more, the only other option for me, in my mind, is to send him to a sportsmanship class. Because he honestly has to learn. He can't go through life just issuing apologies for stuff that he does. I don't think an apology covers this. I really think he needs to go to class and learn what it means to lose with class, or, I mean, honestly, just to play with class. Because right now, and Magic Johnson, who is an NBA analyst for ESPN now, the most one of the most famous Lakers in history, if not the most famous Laker. After that game, he went on ESPN. He had his own little like 2.5 minute segment, and he called out his own organization. I mean, not that he owns it, but I mean, an organization he is a huge part of. He called them out for not having class. And if Magic Johnson is going to call them out for not having class, then that's big. Magic Johnson was severely hurt by what he saw at the end of that game, and I mean, rightly so. There's nothing right about what anyone saw after that. So now I'm going to move on to basically the result of the Mavericks winning that series. And by winning that game where the foul happened, the Mavericks swept the Lakers in the Western Conference semifinals in that series. They swept them 4-0, and the Mavericks are moving on to the Western Conference Finals, where they will play either Memphis or Oklahoma City. And Memphis is the darling of the NBA playoffs right now. I mean, an 8 seed, they beat the 1 seed. They're tied with Oklahoma City in the series 2-2. And game 5 is tonight at 7:30. It's going to be a great game. All 4 games have been so far. Their last game went to like triple overtime or something. It was a great game. I didn't stay up and watch it, but I mean, what I did see was really, really good. And what I was leading on to back with the Dallas Lakers series, the result of that is the result of that is this question: is Phil Jackson one of the best coaches in NBA history? Is he done coaching? Phil Jackson people have been wondering if he's going to be done coaching for a while. I mean, a couple years ago when Kobe was having like issues where he was saying, "Oh, I want to get out of LA. I'm tired of staying here," because the Lakers honestly weren't very good. And then they went out and got Pau Gasol and Lamar Odom and basically everyone that made the team that what it has been over the last 3-4 years. And they went out and they got all them. And Kobe's like, "All right, if you're gonna build a decent team around me, I guess I'll stay." Basically, when that happened, people were wondering, well, if Kobe wants out, what's Phil Jackson going to do? Is he going to retire? I mean, he's been in the league X amount of years. At that point, he had 9 championships. Is he ready to retire? Obviously not. He was not ready to retire, seeing as he went on and coached another 3 years. But here's the question now. He has 2 more championships, so he's up to 11. He won 6 with the Bulls and Michael Jordan, and now he's won 5 with the Lakers and Shaq and Kobe and Lamar and Andrew and all these guys. So is he ready to leave the NBA? And honestly, I'm not sure. I mean, Phil Jackson is an iconic coach. I mean, if you want to be an NBA coach, he is definitely a guy that you look up to. He's been there forever. I mean, that's at least what it feels like. I mean, he's coached 2 of the best teams in the history of the NBA in the 90s Bulls and the 2000s, early 2010s Lakers. So, I mean, I don't know if he's done, but I think he might be. I think he knows that he's getting older, he's getting up in years, and he just doesn't have the energy that he once did. And I think he will end up retiring. I believe he'll finish with his 11 NBA titles, his Coach of the Year, 4 times as an All-Star Game coach. I mean, he has had one of the greatest careers of any coach. I mean, there's iconic coaches. There's Mike Krzyzewski and Dean Smith and all these other guys in college basketball. And then, I mean, there's Red Auerbach and Phil Jackson. I mean, these are the 2 best coaches ever in my book. And I mean, it's sad to think that Phil Jackson might be done. And I mean, the real question here is, can the Zen Master stay away? Can he stay away from basketball? It's the same question that has plagued Brett Favre for years. Can they stay away from the sport that they love? And it'll be really interesting to see if he can, or if he'll come back to the Lakers in some way, shape, or form, or even not even not even the Lakers, just any team, the Bulls, and the Bulls, for example. I mean, that's just a team thrown out there because that's his other team. But, I mean, it could be any team. I mean, he could come and work in the Nuggets front office for all we know. So, I mean, will he stay away? And that's something we'll have to watch and monitor. And I think he wants to go home to Montana and spend some time with his grandkids and his kids and just relax. I mean, he's got tons of money, so, I mean, he'll be comfortable for the rest of his life. And I do think it'll be interesting. And I'd love to hear your take on either the Andrew Bynum situation or is Phil Jackson done in the NBA? And then if you want to call in and give me your take, the number is 1-888-212-KLIK. That's 1-888-212-5545. And I'd just love to hear your take on one of those. So now we're going to take a break and listen to some music, and I'll be back in a few minutes.
MoyoGuitar.org.
Alright, well, welcome back. And I was going to do, I meant to do this before I took a break, but I completely spaced it even though I have my outline right here in front of me. And I meant to give a quick NBA playoff update. And as I said, Dallas won their series with the Lakers in the Western Conference semifinals, 4-0. Chicago is leading 3-2 in their series against the Atlanta Hawks, and the Bulls will play the Hawks again tomorrow night at 6. And then the Thunder and the Memphis Grizzlies play tonight at 7:30, and their series is tied 2-2. And then right now, Boston and Miami are playing, and down in Miami, Miami is leading the series 3-1. And right now, Boston is winning the game that is currently airing right now, 49-47 at the half. So it's a close one, definitely one worth watching. And it'd be really interesting to see if the Heat, who have struggled against the Celtics all year, see if they can pull out the win in the series when it counts. So now that, and I'm done with that update that I meant to give before the break, I'm going to talk about the NFL lockout. And that, I mean, in the sports world, that's something that pretty much everyone has to cover. It's huge sports news if anything happens with it, but nothing has really happened with it. The only thing that's really happened with football lately is that a bunch of players are going out, and it's mostly quarterbacks because, well, quarterbacks are viewed as leaders of teams. And the quarterbacks are going out, and they're leading players in workouts. I mean, they aren't very many players. The one I heard about today was the Atlanta Falcons, and they had probably 30 players, I believe that's what ESPN said. And, I mean, for a whole football team, practice squad, starters, second team, third team, I mean, special teams, it's not that many people. So what they've been doing, what the quarterbacks have been doing, and it wasn't the quarterback in Denver, it was Brian Dawkins in Denver who led their version of it, was they're going out to local high schools mostly, and they're leading 7-on-7s, which is basically a drill where it's basically football without linemen, and it's passes. It's like all passes, and they're leading 7-on-7s, and then they're just running through drills. And, I mean, I've heard that that some people aren't really happy that this is happening. Some of the players, and really the only two I heard of were one player from Washington and then Reggie Bush, because Reggie Bush is just irritable that the Saints drafted Mark Ingram. So he's just trying to get some attention because he's just angry that he's not the center of attention now like he was at USC. But he caused USC some problems, and, well, he doesn't deserve to be the center of attention anymore. And so my take on these, on the workouts and the 7-on-7s that are going on, is that they're a great thing. If there is a season, the players that are participating in these drills and these 7-on-7s are going to be much more prepared. They're going to be more in shape. They're going to just be ready, more mentally ready to play if and when this lockout does ever end. I mean, I'm not sure if it will, but if and when it does, then, I mean, they'll be ready to play. players that aren't participating, they won't be ready to play. I mean, and with free agents, I mean, they can't really participate in anybody's, so that's not their fault. They just, they're kind of caught in the balance here, and I really feel bad for them if this ends up not resolving itself and it ends up going on and becoming a really bad situation where games or even the whole season gets canceled like hockey did back in 2006. I mean, I don't know if the situation will get resolved. At this point, the owners will not budge on anything. I mean, they went down to a district appeals court in St. Louis to appeal Judge Susan Richard Nelson's decision that the lockout was unconstitutional and that it wasn't allowed to exist anymore. That she dissolved the lockout, and then 4 days later, the owners filed an appeal like that day that it was decided with the Court of Appeals in St. Louis. And obviously, obviously because it can be seen now, the court went with the owners, and the players can't work out at their facilities. They aren't making money. I mean, these players, luckily a lot of them make a lot of money, but then there's some of them that only sign like 1 year contracts, and they just jump around from team to team, and they never sign for very much. I mean, they're not really huge name players, and they just fill needs that a team has, and then they're there for a year, and then they move on to another team. And these players are struggling, even making the league minimum, which is a lot of money compared to what a lot of us as teenagers, our parents make. They make a lot of money. And, I mean, it's just not enough. I mean, these people have multiple kids. They got to send them through school, and a lot of them send them through private schools because, well, at least they thought they could afford it. And then they realize once they don't have a job that they actually can't afford it, and then but they're still sending their kids there because that's their kid's school, and then they gotta pay for bills, the mortgage, all the food, the utilities. It adds up, and these players, some of them are going to have to take normal everyday jobs, and I mean that's really scary for some of them because all they've known is football, and that's all that they thought they'd ever know. And I feel really bad for those players. I mean, it's a sad day when you see the NFL getting shut down for really issues that could just be resolved if the owners and the NFL would just budge on a couple of issues. Like that stupid 18-game schedule. 16 is fine. The players are happy with 16. Let them have the 16 games. They don't need 18. 18 is just going to result in more injuries. I went into this in one of my previous shows, and those are all up. If you go to www.clickradio.org and then go to schedule, and then right now it'll be on, and hit the schedule button, and it'll be on Wednesday because today is Wednesday, and then you hit podcast under my show, which will be the only one up there because I guess I'm the only show on Wednesday, and then hit that. It'll be one of the 5 episodes that are currently there, and it will be 6 after tonight when I finish up with tonight's show. And it's just these issues can just be so simply resolved. And it's so, so sad that the owners in the NFL just can't realize that the players deserve this, that they don't. I wish they could understand that, but that's not really my problem. I mean, I hope they resolve it, and I hope there's an NFL season, but as I see it now, there will not be an NFL season. That's just what it looks like, because that's what it looks like. The mediation obviously isn't working because nothing's happening. So even if they are still in mediation, which I'm not even sure if they are, this lockout's been going on for almost 60 days now. They need to resolve their issues and move on. this just sucks about the situation that some of these players are in. I mean, yeah, some of them do have a ton of money in the bank, and some of them are overpaid and blah, 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 and some of them will be able to survive a year without pay. But, I mean, there's a ton of players that won't, that will have to get regular jobs that honestly aren't really suited for them because a lot of them left college early or didn't, I mean, they went to, like, junior college or something, maybe went to college for a year. I mean, at least that's with Cam Newton. Cam Newton doesn't have a contract right now. He can't make any money. So if there is no season, Cam Newton will have to go out and get a job if he wants to live. Or, well, maybe his dad can pay for him. That's probably what will happen. But Cam and his dad have a whole bunch of issues. That's not really what I'm focusing on. But actually, with the whole issues thing, that's a good transition over to my next topic, which is the NCAA football big issue, and that big issue is Ohio State. The Ohio State Buckeye football team was busted right after the Sugar Bowl, which they won, for a bunch of their players receiving free tattoos and a couple other perks, and then they gave away some team merchandise that they weren't supposed to give away. And the five players that were implicated were their starting quarterback, Terrell Pryor, their best receiver, Devere Posey, their best running back, Dan Heron, a key offensive tackle, Mike Adams, and then a defensive end named Solomon Thomas. They were all suspended for 5 games. I don't believe they were fined, but they were suspended for 5 games. And that got their coach into a huge vat of boiling water. Ever since then, Jim Tressel has just come out as this corrupt coach who has just led this, who has basically just led a corrupt program ever since he learned about it and did not report the incident to the proper authorities at Ohio State and the NCAA. What happened was is Jim Tressel found out about the players giving away merchandise for tattoos and receiving all these gifts and stuff, and I mean, and this is something they're not allowed to do because they're amateur players technically, and they're not allowed to be paid. They're being paid with a free tuition, so with like free tuition to a really good university and a free education, so they don't get to get paid with any other perks other than that because they're amateur players. And Jim Tressel found out before the Sugar Bowl that these players had committed these infractions, and he didn't really do anything with it. He got an email about it, and he read it and just let it sit in his email. He didn't do anything with it, just sat there. I don't think he tried to delete it. It just kind of sat there, and he didn't really try to do anything with it. So anyone could have gone to his email and found out about it, and obviously someone who Jim Tressel was in contact with was like, you know what, if you're not going to report it, I'm going to report you. And he did to the NCAA, and ever since then, Ohio State's been in a whole heap of trouble. And now, what the big issue is with Ohio State is if Jim Tressel should be fired. And this is a topic I would really love to hear from my listeners about. And as I said, call into 1-888-212-KLIK, and you can call in next week even, and if you start talking about it, I'll be sure to answer any questions you may have about any of my topics that I go on talking about tonight. And so, should Jim Tressel be fired? You know what? I think he should. I'm going to pull a really off-topic analogy that I've learned a lot about and that I've learned a lot about over the past year in my history class. And this is a really off-topic, odd analogy, odd like similarity I'm making. And this is that Jim Tressel flat out lied to the NCAA and covered up his situation. And my odd analogy is that this is just like Watergate, except this is Tattoo Gate in college football. And I mean, it's just like Watergate because the leader of a huge organization And Watergate was the government here at Ohio State, which is one of the top football programs in the nation, one of the best football teams, period, in the history of college football. And, I mean, so two big leaders are getting in trouble for covering up incidents that they, well, here's the difference. One, in Watergate, Nixon orchestrated the incident, but here they both knew about the incident and failed to report it to the proper authorities, even though in Watergate's case they did get caught in the act. Nixon just pretended not to know about it. And so I just think if Nixon got essentially kicked out of the presidency, I mean, he resigned before he could actually get impeached, so he didn't officially get kicked out, but he essentially did. So if he essentially got kicked out of the presidency for lying, why can a football coach who did the pretty much exact same thing, lying to a huge authority, why should he get to keep his job? President lost his, why should a football coach get to keep his? That's my main question. That's what I'd love to hear from you guys about that question. Why should Jim Tressel get to keep his job when he lied to the NCAA, he lied to Ohio State, and he covered up this huge, basically almost criminal, well, not criminal, but I mean, illegal incident? Players are not allowed to receive anything other than a free education. They get the free education and the gear that goes along with it. I mean, anything with the school, but they're not allowed to receive anything from the community by giving them, I mean, yeah, sure, they trade stuff, but still, they aren't allowed to receive anything free from the community. The fact that they did is very wrong. I have issues with it in every way, shape, or form, and I just think that Ohio State and Jim Tressel are much like the Lakers. They have no class at all. And I went into this earlier, and I said Jim, and one of the consequences Jim Tressel, because he has no class, will have to deal with, is that he has to go to a conference for coaches, and I mean, he has to. The NCAA is forcing him to go down to a conference in Florida for NCAA coaches and go to a basically integrity seminar, because he has no integrity. And I mean, I made the case for Andrew Bynum, and I really think Jim Tressel, I hope this works out for, like, this seminar makes him better, but I still hope he gets fired. I really do think that because Jim Tressel has no integrity and no class, that he does not deserve to be the coach of a big-name school like Ohio State. Ohio State's last really good coach was Woody Hayes. The second he showed that he didn't have integrity or class, which is when he punched a player in it. Yeah, just look up Woody Hayes punching on YouTube, and you'll find the video. And I mean, he punched a player on the sideline from the opposite team. The other team, like, Ohio State was losing, so it was basically just like Bynum. And he just went up and punched a player. I mean, it was funny. I laughed at the video. But the second, like, Ohio State saw that, they showed that he didn't have integrity, he didn't have class, yeah, he's a great coach, he's an icon, because he won, I mean, he's one of the best coaches, he's an icon for a coach. But he showed no integrity, no class, and boom, he was fired. Why is Jim Tressel, who has shown the same qualities, still the Ohio State head coach? I mean, yeah, he's not going to be there for 5 games next year, but I would much rather have him fired. Okay, we have a caller here. Hello.
Hello. Hi, this is Tom. Hi, Jeff. I love the show.
All right, if you're not going to be serious, I'm going to hang up on you.
Okay, I absolutely love the Broncos. They are amazing. Also, there's a 2-for-1 love sofa deal on American Warehouse, so you can head over.
All right, so I'm not going to deal with any joke calls on this show. So if you're going to call, be serious, or I will hang up on you just like I just did. I mean, come on, guys. Honestly, this is a serious show. I'm not going to deal with that crap. I know this is going on because you guys talk about it all. You talk about it around me. You guys are just talking, oh, let's call into Jeff's show. If you're going to call in, be serious. Talk about what I'm talking about. Don't just call in and do that crap. I'm not gonna stand for it. Now, back to my topic about Jim Tressel. And, I mean, I just don't think he should have a job right now. He should have been fired pretty much, like, almost this... Not the second that they found out about it, but then, I mean, they should have dealt with it for a while, but then realized, oh, well, you're not showing qualities that we see in an Ohio State head coach. I mean, I'm not even an Ohio State fan, and I feel this way. Ohio State is usually a classy program, and just right now it's not showing those qualities, and I don't feel that a coach who exhibits these horrible qualities should still be a coach. And, I mean, they should do what Tennessee did to Bruce Pearl. Get rid of him. If he is violating all these NCAA rules, get rid of him. He doesn't deserve to have a job. That's just how I feel about it. And, I mean, this is going to actually affect OSU for years to come. Because Tressel cannot go in to a recruit's home and be trusted in anything that he says. Because this is such a huge incident. Parents will never trust a word he says. Never. And, I mean, that's just, it's just a bad thing that he did this. He should have reported it, and everything would be fine. But now, because he didn't, he has to deal with all the consequences. So, before I take a break, I'm going to give an update on the scores right now, and I'm going to start in the MLB. Right now, Tampa Bay is playing Cleveland, and Tampa Bay is winning 4-0 in the bottom of the sixth. Florida is beating Philadelphia 2-0. In the bottom of the sixth. Top of the sixth, the Dodgers are beating the Pirates 2-0. Top of the sixth, the Blue Jays are beating Boston 4-1. Bottom of the fifth, Baltimore is not beating Seattle, but they're tied with Seattle at 1. Bottom of the fifth, Atlanta is beating Washington 2-1. Top of the fifth, the Yankees are beating Kansas City 2-1. Top of the third, the Cubs and St. Louis are tied at 0. Games that happened earlier today, San Diego beat Milwaukee 13-6. Detroit beat Minnesota 9-7. And Houston beat Cincinnati 4-3. Games will happen later on tonight at 8 o'clock. The Angels and the White Sox will play. At 8:15, the D-backs and the Giants will play. And then two games got postponed today. The Mets in Colorado got postponed. And that's one that's pretty obvious if you live here in Colorado. We had some poor weather here, pretty much raining all day. And so... I mean, that's obvious that got postponed. And then I guess in Texas, I guess it's not great weather either because Oakland and Texas got postponed today. In the NBA, Boston is winning in the third quarter against Miami 65-61. And then after my show is done, Memphis and Oklahoma City will tip off. In the NHL, there's only one series that's still going on in the conference semifinals. Vancouver won their series with Nashville 4-2. Boston swept Philadelphia out of the playoffs 4-0. Tampa Bay swept Washington out of the playoffs 4-0. And then San Jose and Detroit are going to game 7 tomorrow night at 7. Well, that works. And then we'll see. Either San Jose or Detroit will go on and play Vancouver, and then Tampa Bay and Boston will play in the Eastern Conference semifinals. And so now I'm going to take a break and we'll listen to some music. Hope you enjoy. Welcome back, and this is Click Sports with Jeff. And as I'm looking at ESPN, one of the stories that catches my eye is that Auburn is building Cam Newton a statue. Cam Newton was there for 1 year. Yes, he won a Heisman. Yes, he won a national championship. But does he deserve a statue? No! No one who's out of school for 1 year deserves a statue. If they're there for 4 years, like Tim Tebow was at Florida, and they're one of the best players in the country every year that they are at that school, then yes, they deserve a statue. But when you're out of school for 1 year, and you're the best player in the country that 1 year, and you win a national championship that 1 year, it's still only 1 year. You don't deserve a statue because you were really good 1 year. I have a huge issue with that, and that's a whole issue for a whole nother show that I'll do later. But now for my last segment here on Click Sports with Jeff, I'm going to talk about pretty much the one major sport that I usually talk about I haven't really talked about today, and that's the MLB. And I'm going to give, right now it looks like I have one huge surprise, one questionable team, and then one good team that is struggling right now. And then I'm going to debate between two pitchers who's the best pitcher. And my huge surprise is the team that is coached by the Colorado Rockies' old manager. And that would be the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are managed by Clint Hurdle. The Pirates are third in the NL Central, and they're at 500. Now, for the Pirates to be at 500 is a big thing, because their last winning season was about 18 years ago. So they've got a long time between winning, and I don't even remember the last time that they made the playoffs. So them being at 500 and being third in that division, within they're a game and a half behind Cincinnati and three games behind St. Louis in the division. So being within three games of the division for the Pirates is huge. I mean, the pitching, not bad at all. I mean, the Pirates pitching, as I get to their stat page, there it is. Their starters look like they're all mostly around 3-point-something ERAs. And, I mean, that's really good. So, I mean, their strikeouts are up. They aren't walking as many guys. They aren't giving up as many hits. Their ERAs are down. And they've only thrown two complete games all year, but, I mean, they aren't Roy Halladay. So, I mean, they're doing really good for how, I mean, they usually are at this point in the season. I mean, yeah, it's middle of May, but this point in the season, the Pirates usually already 10 games under 500, and their season's pretty much already over. So for them to have their starters who are 5-3, 4-1, 2-2, 2-1, that's really good. I'm really surprised with the Pirates. I mean, who knows? Sometimes the Pirates will show that they're going to be good, and then they'll falter later on in the season, and they'll end up being below 500, but then you never know. Sorry for breaking up a little bit right now. I just heard a huge crash somewhere around me. Don't really know what it was. So I'm just kind of looking around, making sure everything is still up. And it doesn't look like anything fell in here, so I don't know what that was. Kind of spooked me a little bit. Oh, well. And then my questionable team right now, as they have been the whole year, is the Boston Red Sox. And my question is, will they ever reach 500? This was a team I had high expectations for, a team I thought could win 100 games. And right now, they'll get within a game of 500, then they'll lose like three straight and get four games under. And they keep doing that. And I don't know if they'll ever reach 500. I mean, right now they're showing as if they're going to show some promise and maybe get over 500 later on in the year. But I mean, right now the question is, will they ever reach it? And I don't know. And then the other team is going to have a good team that isn't really doing well right now is the Rockies. They were the best team in baseball a couple weeks ago. Now they're on losing streaks since, I mean, they just had a 4-game losing streak. What happened? Why is the offense and dying? I mean, the pitchers are given quality starts. The Rockies are still a team that has one of the highest quality start rates in Major League Baseball, but their offense is dying. I mean, what's happening to the Rockies? The Red Sox and the Rockies don't win their divisions. I get two of my divisions wrong. This isn't a good thing. I mean, they need, these two teams need to pick it up. I don't know what's wrong, but they need to figure out, and then they need to pick it up. And then the best pitcher matchup I have is actually a matchup from yesterday. The Phillies are playing the Marlins right now in a series, and yesterday Josh Johnson and Roy Halladay played each other. They like pitched against each other. So the question here is Roy Halladay or Josh Johnson the better pitcher? Yesterday Halladay took a loss. I mean, he didn't give up that many hits. It was like the score was like 3-2 at the end of the game, and Josh Johnson took a no decision. This is a really good question because Josh Johnson has studied Doc Halladay, who is from Arvada, which is really cool here in Colorado, and it's just interesting, like, seeing that matchup, seeing one guy, Josh Johnson, who studied Doc Halladay for years, seeing those two face off against each other was intense. It was a great game. The Marlins just got a couple hits in right when it counted. But I think until Josh Johnson becomes consistently the big game pitcher that goes deep into games pretty much every time he pitches, because Doc Halladay pitches more complete games than anyone I know. He pitches more than Cliff Lee, his teammate. I have to go with Doc Halladay for right now. Because, I mean, he's been in the league longer. He just seems like he's more the better pitcher. And, I mean, right now I just think Doc Halladay, Roy Halladay, Doc is his nickname. I just think right now he's the better pitcher. And so, yeah, that's basically all I got. This has been Click Sports with Jeff. It'd be awesome if you guys would tune in to all of our other shows. And on Monday, it looks as if we still don't have a show. Come on, guys. Fill out a volunteer form. Volunteer with us. I could even use a co-host here at Click Sports with Jeff. So, hey, volunteer, be my co-host, or volunteer, have your own show on Monday. It's wide open. Then on Tuesday we got C&J Party Planners with Cody and Jordan, and that's a great show. So tune into that, and then there's Anything Goes, which I still haven't listened to that much, but I mean, I'm guessing this is Click. Everything here is good, so I'm guessing that's a great show. Then Wednesday we have me. So tune in next Wednesday at 6 for me. Then Thursday, there's Nightlife from 7 to 10. That's a good show. Definitely have listened to that one before, and, I mean, awesome show. Then on Friday, we have Complete Nonsense and then M-Prod Radio. And, I mean, as I said, here at Click, everything's good. Just turn it on, and I'm sure you'll be listening to something good within no time. Then Saturday, we have Insert Name Here, Synthetic Happiness, and The Awkward Couple. Three great shows. Guarantee it. That gets you a good more than 7 hours. That gets you a good 9 hours worth of great music, basically 9 hours worth of great radio. So from 4 p.m. to 1 o'clock in the morning, you have great radio on Saturday. Just tune in to www.clickradio.org. Tune in. And especially on Saturday, 9 hours of great radio. And then on Sunday, from 1 to 3, we got the Waka Snackers. Just from that name, I can tell it's awesome. That's a freaking crazy name. I love it. Tune in. I guarantee you, if you turn in, you'll find something great to listen to any day of the week. Except for Monday, because we don't have any shows. So go to clickradio.org. Right on our homepage, click on Be a DJ with Click Radio, fill out a volunteer form. You could even end up being my co-host. And, I mean, if you really want to, you could be my co-host. If you're into sports and you can keep up with me, I'd love to have you here as a co-host, just someone to talk to, someone to keep this show interesting. So just fill out a form, get your own show. Monday's wide open. You can even get a show on another day. I mean, we have three on Saturday, so you could get a show any day, pretty much any day of the week. And we'd love to have you here at Click. So go to Click Radio, fill out a volunteer form, and then tune into any of our shows any day of the week, and you will find some good radio. This has been Click Sports with Jeff. I'm glad you tuned in. Look forward to seeing you next Wednesday at 6.